The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Happy New Year. It's that time of year where we should be freezing, but, you know, we can work with what we got, I guess. And where we take stock of the year that has passed and look forward to a new year, and some of us even make resolutions. Anybody in here make a New Year's resolution? Like one, two? Smart. I don't usually make them. I don't know why. I don't usually think that far ahead, I think, probably. But I do some of that reflection work, that reckoning with the year that has passed. And I have a confession to make. I look at my phone way too much. Anybody else do that? I look at my phone way too much. There's a function, I don't know if you know this, on your phone that will tell you how many hours a day you spend on your phone. I encourage you not to look at this function. It doesn't feel good to read those statistics. But I look at my phone far too much. So if I were to make a New Year's resolution, I suppose it would be somewhat like the one I would have made a year ago and say, "I'm going to look at my phone less." During the month of December, a few of us joined together for a book study on the faith of Mr. Rogers, one of my personal heroes. And as I prepared for this book study every week, I went through reams of quotes, biographical information, writings, interviews. And there was a quote from an interview that Fred Rogers gave on PBS in 1994 that's been hanging over me, particularly as I think about my complicated relationship with my phone. Right? He said, "I'm very concerned," this is in 1994, mind you, pre-smartphone, "I'm very concerned that our society is much more interested in information than wonder, in noise rather than silence. And oh my, this is a noisy world. Very often I find myself with my phone in hand looking up the answer to some question that popped into my head, or maybe some question someone else has asked, and I realize I am looking for a quick answer, looking for that information, and not allowing a lot of space to just wonder like I used to do, make up an answer like I might have before, begin to imagine what might be true. And so we encounter this story that we know so well about these wise men. But do we know it that well? What do we know about these wise men? I feel like I'm going to reach in for my phone, but it's over there. What do we know about these wise men? We think we know a lot about these wise men. But do we? For first of all, we don't know how many there were. We've often assumed that there were three, but that's based on the gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We know they came from the east, but we don't know what that means. We assume that they likely came from Persia, but we can't be certain. We're all quite used to the image of them gathering around the manger with the shepherds and the animals. But the truth is that we don't know when they showed up. In fact, it could have been as much as 2 years after the birth of Jesus that these wise men first appeared. So, what do we know about the Magi, these wise men? Not much, it turns out. Over the centuries, people have done a lot with a little bit of information that we have about these visitors. People have concocted all kinds of stories about their journey, their station in life, even their names. And when we read the text again this year, hopefully with fresh eyes, it can be a little disorienting when we try to square the words on the page with the images that we have in our brains or on our walls or that we sing about in songs that we know by heart. We might not know all that we think we know about these learned foreigners who wander far so that they might know a little something about this child called Jesus. But they sure have tickled our imagination, haven't they? So, thinking about Mr. Rogers, thinking about the battle between information and wonder, what do we wonder about these visitors? These visitors who have traveled a long distance to discover something strange and new that they'd only heard about. These visitors from a foreign land, these outsiders who have come filled with curiosity, with wonder about this child, to learn about this king of the Jews. These visitors who ask King Herod about this child and unwittingly stoke the paranoia of the powerful. These visitors who at great risk to themselves have followed their own wondering into new territories to learn new truths about who God is and about what the world might become. These visitors, turns out, have great power. Not because they are kings. That's another one of those things we've made up over the years. No. These visitors are powerful because they wonder. And to wonder about things we do not know is powerful. To ponder questions which we may or may not have the answer for, or which may or may not have an answer at all, to ponder those questions is powerful. To imagine what might be is powerful, amazingly powerful. Because to live in wonder, to imagine, is to live a life of hope. Facts can be slippery things, maybe more so today than ever before. In this time of smartphones and social networks, of clickbait and of the 24-hour news cycle, the chasm between what we think we know and what we actually know seems to grow wider and wider by the minute, pulling us further and further apart, pulling us further and further away from our ability to wonder, and drawing deeper and deeper dividing lines between one another. You see, when we plant our feet, stubbornly declare that we know what we know and what we know is right, and to hell with you if you question it, we remain still, stagnant, and, well, sad. But when we wonder what could be, when we imagine what might be, we open, we hope, we come alive, and we find ourselves able to do things we might not have been able to do before. To wonder is to put our trust into something larger than ourselves. To wonder is to have faith in something beyond our own capabilities. To wonder is to imagine something beyond our own making. To wonder is to put our hope not in kings, but in the smallness of a child. To wonder is to see the kingdom of God. So what do we know about the workings of the universe? What do we know about the mysteries of faith? What do we know about the magnificence of God? It's hard to say. But what do we wonder? Now there's a good question. Amen.